is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Dell. That's it. Lance is gone. I don't know where the hell he is. I don't know. What is he doing, by the way, this week? Is he and AJ, are they spooning right now?
Well, they're two of each other's favorite people, so it's always... That could be going on, but I think your favorite Lance will be in a little later.
Lance Berkman. Now, there's a Lance. Now, that's a Lance that people can sink their teeth into, right? Lance Berkman going to be joining us.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I don't care. I don't care what
but
that
he'll
means.
Be here.
He will be here.
All your buddies are showing up. All the buddies that, you know.
My buddy.
All your buddies to replace your normal buddy. You got Buddy. You had Buddy Steve. Now you got Buddy Lance today.
And my other buddy Lance is on vacation.
Yeah, so it's a throwback week.
And you got nothing. You got no Manny. You got nothing.
Well, because Manny has a real job. Lance Berkman doesn't have a real job.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Well, his real job is his kid's baseball team, isn't it?
Yeah, and are they in season right now?
Good Lord. Can you tweet one more hit from that kid?
He's Manny? Manny?
Manny.
Oh, no, he can't.
He can't. It's impossible.
Well, he's got two very apparently accomplished children. His daughter is a really good volleyball player who's on a travel team.
Awesome.
And his son is apparently a really good baseball player. So let's just say he's going to be paying out the nose for quite a while.
Oh, absolutely. I know. That kid's little. He's gonna. It's going to cost you, Manny. So we had a big night last night. In the bigs, we had Pittsburgh and the Reds. If you haven't seen the fight, pretty damn good, and it was good reason too. Now, apparently, and we're going to talk to Lance Berkman about this. Apparently, you can throw at a guy's head if he Cadillacs a home run, because that's what Keone Kella did. He went at Dietrich's head.
Well, this isn't just a one time incident.
No, I know
this happened early in the year when apparently Dietrich. As you mentioned, Cadillac, and they threw behind him last time. And this time, we're going to get a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah. No, Kella was in the last fight and got thrown out. They fought before over a lot of this BS. And what Lance Berkman can break all this down for us. Is it okay to throw at a guy's head because he Cadillacs a home run?
I don't think you can justify throwing a projectile 90-plus miles an hour at someone's head because you didn't like the way he celebrated.
Yeah. The way he didn't run around the bases fast enough for you. That's ridiculous. And so the Reds got a beef. Now, I don't know about Dietrich. I don't care. You know what? Dietrich is obviously not an Hispanic player. Because Hispanic players tend to enjoy having fun during the game. If you're a pitcher, remember Lima, and we've seen plenty of pitchers, Hispanic pitchers that are boisterous out there, that enjoy and celebrate small victories over hitters or pitchers, and you can't, and they enjoy Cadillacing. Dietrich's not that guy. I don't believe there's any Hispanic guys named Dietrich. Do you?
Well, didn't a lot of Germans go to Argentina?
They did. They absolutely, yeah, they to run away.
Yeah.
From,
you know, the crimes.
Yeah, to get away from their, from being prosecuted from their war crimes.
So I don't know if Dietrich has any of that lineage, but to your point, no, usually Dietrich isn't a Hispanic.
No. So him getting thrown at his head by Kella, and Kella, I love Kella. I'm just protecting my guys. You're protecting them from a guy slowly running around the bases?
Now, a Pirate was hit in the game as well, but he got hit like in the thigh or something.
Yeah, he got hit around the thigh area, right?
Yeah.
And wait a minute. You threw at the dude's head and he threw at his leg.
Seems like it doesn't equate.
No, but we don't know because you know what? It's the unwritten rules.
Well, and we'll ask Lance Berkman, who was deep into the unwritten rules, what he thinks about it. Now, Reds manager, is it Damon Bell?
David Bell.
David Bell he said, the Pirates like to do this. They celebrate throwing at people's heads. So he thinks it's something maybe not taught, but encouraged. We throw at people's heads here because we're the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah. That's apparently Kella. Now, love. Amir Garrett, I didn't know till this morning who Amir Garrett was.
No.
No, big toe guy. But he was in the middle of the last one between the Reds. They fought earlier this year. Puig going at it again. Yasiel Puig is awesome, by the way.
Now he's an Indian.
Now he's an Indian. Trevor Bauer is now a Red.
Yes.
I don't know why either team would really do that.
I don't know.
I have no
idea. I know maybe the Indians were done with Trevor Bauer, not just because of what he did.
No, he was. Recently, they were.
They were just done overall. And yeah. They said, but are you sure you're not going to be done with Yasiel Puig? Now, they got other guys that some prospects, but you didn't like Trevor Bauer yet.
Guess
you
what?
You think Yasiel Puig's going to go down any smoother?
Guess what? Guess what you just got? I mean, honestly, is there a hotter head in all of sports than Yasiel Puig?
I don't know. I just know he doesn't control it as well as maybe another guy would.
Maybe Odell?
But Odell fights... Well, he fights Josh Norman in kicking net.
Yeah.
Yasiel will fight anyone at any time if you're disrespecting his team or him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess... I can't think of anyone that's really a hotter head or more... If combustible than Yasiel Puig, if you want to know this. I don't know that there is anyone in sports. And Trevor Bauer is apparently near there. And so you just picked up. You got rid of Bauer because you couldn't take it. And you got worse. You actually got more combustible by getting rid of Trevor Bauer. I wouldn't have minded Trevor Bauer here if you want to know the truth. I wouldn't. Now, today's the deadline. Jeff Luno likes to work right up until the deadline, and there's good reason for it. I think if the tighter it gets, the less you have to take. You want to get rid of that guy. You want to get something for him. I get it. Zach Wheeler is a guy. Now, I heard Patrick Creighton yesterday talking. He knows the Mets. He's a Mets fan, right? Isn't he a Mets fan?
I know he's a New Yorker. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's a Mets fan. I think he's a Mets fan. So he actually watches someone in the world that watches the Mets. I can't.
Is that why he's so angry? Is that why he yells?
I guess I don't. That's why he. Yeah, I think that's why you have to be loud because I don't. Listen, you could probably whisper at a Mets game and the players could hear you.
Yeah, it's not about being heard. It's about getting out the frustration from watching your baseball team play.
Yeah, I think probably you have to be an angry person if you're a Mets and Knicks fan. Yeah, right. And Jets. Jets on them,
well, at least the Giants have won. So.
The Giants have won.
Yeah, if your triumvirate is Mets, Jets, and Knicks, you are never happy. When was the last time you were happy as a sports fan?
No, you're Patrick Creighton. You're yelling all the time.
There it is.
I don't want to put Jets on him. He looks like he could be a Giants fan. I don't know what that means, but he looks like a Giants fan to me. But. He knows the Mets, and he was talking a lot about Zach Wheeler, and he has a lot of the qualities that the Astros really like. He's got a 95 mile an hour fastball. He's got a lot of spin. He spins it, and he'll actually benefit from Brent Strom and the way that the Astros go about it, analytics.
You talk about that. I wish I could credit the person who tweeted it, but he said just waiting for the deadline for the Astros to acquire some third to fourth starter, and in a month he's like, this guy's eligible for the Hall of Fame. Look how great he is.
Look at him. Yeah, I mean, is that not what happened? I remember when Charlie Morton, my buddy Justin, was like, oh, that dude, I can't stand him. Do you know how much money he's lost me betting on Charlie Morton when he was with whomever and one of his teams? And he was like, dude, what kind of pickup is this? And then Charlie Morton is now the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball. Thanks to Brent Strom. Thanks to the way the Astros go about it. And quite frankly, I really, really think that if you're an organization, you steal someone from the Astros organization and you learn how the Astros do it, how they go about this thing. It's funny, Lance Berkman is coming in and we were talking last time and he said, spoke at a luncheon that I emceed and he said, yeah, I was, thinking about, talking to the Astros about, doing some hitting instruction. And they were like, nah, we've got our way that we do, that we go about it. It's all, pretty technical. It's all using video and it's all, we go about it a certain way. And you may, you know, the way that you instruct may not be the same way that we instruct. So it's not a good fit. You mean a guy who had a 940 OPS, career OPS? It's in that neighborhood, whatever it was, that, you know, he wouldn't be able to teach guys how to hit a baseball? I mean, Lance Berkman was a great hitter. You know, Alex Bregman's, I looked at this, Alex Bregman's numbers last year. Alex Bregman was an all-star. He was an MVP candidate last year. He was, what did he finish in the MVP? Fourth, fifth, somewhere around there? But he, you know, he went to stardom. He made $100 million this offseason because of the way, you know, he took over. He was their hero last year. Alex Bregman had an OPS last year of 926, which is below Lance Berkman's career OPS. That's how good Lance Berkman was. And Lance Berkman isn't, in the Astros organization, we don't want your input on hitting.
We don't need you ruining our players, Lance.
Right. No, but that's, you know what? The way the Astros go about it, you cannot argue with it. You can't argue with, and it has changed everything. It changed George Springer. George Springer went from a freewheeling, he looked like he was, you know, a Dominican player. He looked like Vlad Guerrero, just swinging at everything. And when they got him to cut down, and same with Altuve, when they got him to cut down his zone and showed him analytically the pitches that he was hitting and which pitches he needed to hit and where he was most successful, he became a 300 hitter in August, in July.
Speaking of, the tweets came in about that.
A bunch of tweets came in about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, but Jose Altuve, over 300. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Zach Wheeler appears to be the guy. Madison Bumgarner is being mentioned. He just doesn't seem like an Astros guy. Wheeler still, you still have, I mean, Bumgarner would be a pure rental. And I don't think, and an older guy. Now, man, the way he spins it and the way, you know, Madison Bumgarner and his success in the postseason, I think it would be awesome. It just doesn't seem like the kind of guy that the Astros would go for. Wheeler, also an unrestricted free agent, but making only 5.97. I think if they get Wheeler, then they would have to get some kind of guarantee that he's going to sign here. I don't see Jeff Luhnow picking up Zach Wheeler, having him learn how to be the best pitcher in the game, and then letting him go.
Do baseball contracts, or at least those type of things, work, the sign and trade? Not that it would be that, but hey, we'll take you on as long as you agree to a deal. How does that work in baseball?
No, I don't. I've never seen that. You know, but I think that there would have to be some. I don't know. It would be very un-Astro-like. But Zach Wheeler, the asking price is going to be less, a lot less than a Bumgarner because of Bumgarner's postseason reputation. Zach Wheeler is an unrestricted free agent that the Mets will get nothing for if they don't trade him. I think you're going to get him a lot cheaper, but I just don't see Jeff Luhnow doing a 2-month rental.
And does the idea that the Astros are acquiring a fourth starter at the trade deadline, does that get you all giddy?
You know, I don't know Zach Wheeler well enough to tell you that he could, with his stuff, what Brent Strom in 2 months can do with him. In Patrick Creighton said yesterday, it'll take him three starts to get what Brent Strom is teaching. I guess, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what kind of learner he is. I don't know. You know, you got to trust the stuff, the grips, the pine tar. The way that they go about it.
Your insinuations are ugly.
I didn't insinuate anything. All I'm saying is I'm hoping he's a smart guy and he can learn right away.
But even if he is, if he gets indoctrinated in the Astro system and he becomes a guy who goes from a third or fourth starter to, well, this guy's been great the last month and a half. Is he going to surpass Wade Miley as a third starter in the playoffs?
No, because I think they would like to go righty-righty, lefty-righty. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd go three straight righties and then game four you throw Miley. And Miley, by the way, deserves to be the third starter.
For what he's put in.
Yeah. Unless Zach Wheeler comes in here and he's unbelievable. Yeah. Right.
Could he be better than what Wade Miley's been, though?
That'd be hard. Wouldn't it? Wade Miley's been pretty bleeping good. It would be hard to surpass him.
So I only asked that question only because the thought was you would probably need to acquire a two or a three in that range to bolster what you have because the lack of trust in Wade Miley in the postseason. But if they acquire Zach Wheeler, you're saying we're good with Wade Miley being our third guy. Unless, like you said, Wheeler goes on this incredible run.
Right. Bumgarner would move. Bumgarner would probably move into the two hole.
Yeah.
So you'd go Verlander, Bumgarner, Cole, Miley. Would that be?
Well, it's going to cost.
That would be totally, totally sweet. Hey, you know what else is sweet? The Skeeters. Skeeters, they won their first half division title. Puts them in the playoffs beginning at Constellation Field in late September. They've got major league rule changes. In the Atlantic League, they're working these things out. Radar determined balls and strikes is happening. The umps are told via earpiece what the computer says is a strike. Angel Hernandez needs this badly. And you can see it happening in real time at Skeeter's game. They test out the new rules put in place last week. Batters can now steal first base. If the ball gets away from the catcher, they can take off for first. The pitchers now must step off the rubber when making a pickoff move. This is leading to more stolen bases. And if you haven't been to Constellation Field, it's beautiful, super kid-friendly, affordable family fun, a must-do every summer. And the word, the key word here is affordable. As opposed to going to Major League, it's hard. It's hard for a family of four to go to a Major League game. You've got really good players, and you've got it at an affordable price in a wonderful, beautiful atmosphere. Just $14 for the best seats in the house to see a team loaded with former major leaguers and guys who are hoping to get to the big leagues. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com. Hashtag more than baseball.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston.
He's really good, and he showcased it all tonight. I don't know if it was, you know, his determination to pitch well in this ballpark or matching up with Bieber, which was a really incredible matchup, or his creativity, his secondary stuff. This is probably the most secondary stuff he's done in his career in a game. So he pitched to some areas that he could get some punch outs, soft contact. They hit a couple balls hard, but really he controlled the entire game from the beginning. So really an incredible night by a really incredible pitcher.
Man, was he good. That curveball was filthy last night. And he had him frozen. And then he had him chasing. 13 strikeouts, no walks. A two-hitter. 7 innings, 2 hits. And then Will Harris and Osuna came in and nothing.
Yuli, made a great play to start off the ninth.
Yeah.
To keep something from getting a little squirrely. And after that, it was easy money for Osuna.
Yeah, Osuna needed it too. He needed a clean inning, didn't he?
He did.
So Verlander is just, I was thinking of this morning. The all-time Astro team at every position.
Are you going to allow winning to cloud your judgment?
Well, but it's got to be your time with the Astros, too. Like, Randy Johnson wouldn't be on it because he was a two-month guy. But as far as, you know, best Astros pitchers, he would, but not with his time with the Astros.
Best Astros second baseman, go.
Altuve. Biggio would be behind the plate. He's the best catcher ever.
That's true, even though
he
made his money.
But it doesn't matter.
I'm not disagreeing.
Altuve would be the second baseman. Biggio would be the catcher.
If there is no Altuve, you're putting Biggio or Biggio, however you want to pronounce it, at second. And who's the catcher?
The best Astros catcher behind Biggio?
If there is no Altuve, you're putting...
Eusebio?
Congratulations. Yeah. The Astros catcher position is much like the Texans safety position until recently. Okay, it's there. Yeah. Whatever.
No, that was, and by the way, shortstop is Correa by default.
hating on
Dickie Thon.
Was Adam Everett a shutout?
Come on. Bregman at third. Bags at first.
Over Caminiti?
Their time with the Astros? Yeah, I think Bregman has contributed more. I think he has contributed more. I mean, the winning's got to count. Springer in right, Berkman in left, and Jimmy Wynn or Cesar Cedeno in center.
Who'd you put at first?
Bags.
Bags. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Obviously.
Pitching would be Verlander, Oswalt.
Were the Clemens
years Clemens, enough? Scott, and J.R. Richard. And then your closer would be Billy.
Yeah. For the length of time and the effectiveness.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you got, look at all the guys. And Verlander's got to be up there now.
And we're 3 years in?
Not, yeah.
Well, two and a half years.
Two and a half years in. I mean, well, he helped you win. That counts.
Oh, I'm not suggesting it doesn't, but I just know you said length of time matters, but he's been so good in a short amount of time that he's your number one.
Yeah. He's your – would he be your game one starter? I think so.
Over who? Yes.
Over Royo or Mike Scott.
You know, Caminiti played here far longer than Bregman has, right? You know,
oh, yeah.
So you still take
Bregman. You still put because of – yeah, Caminiti won his MVP in San Diego.
Yes.
Yeah, I would still put Bregman ahead of Cammy.
Okay.
Verlander sounded very excited after the game, too, whatever Nolan told him. Plus, mixing in more pitches had him pretty pumped up. Nice.
Did someone say, hey, maybe stop relying on the high fastball so much? Did anyone say that to him?
You know, and that was another thing I was thinking of when Joe Torre and Jimmy Leland took him into, and he got a butt chewing at the All-Star game after he made all those comments. If I was them, I would have gone, okay, get me a video of Verlander's homers. Now, let's watch something here, Justin. You see all these pitches that are up? You see all these pitches that are flying out of the park? And besides the fact that, by the way, we've been with Rawlings for how many years now, and we have owned them for a couple of years now, and now all of a sudden we changed the baseball? Really? Really? Because we could have done this a long time ago.
Yeah, you think Rawlings is going to fight us on it?
Yeah. So we could have done this a long time ago. But, by the way, let's take a look at the pitches that are getting hit out of the park.
I feel like in the history of time, right-handed pitchers throwing high fastballs, they tend to go a long way.
Yes. Yes. Now, maybe they're traveling out a little bit faster and whatnot, but if I was them, I would have said, now, okay, so wait a minute. How's the ball now that it's not going out of the park anymore? Because it seems like you're throwing a lot of pitches that are down, that are not fastballs up around a guy's letters. And wait, you're using your curveball a lot more? Huh. Ball's not flying?
So you're varying what you're doing, and there's more success. Not right. That you were having a terrible year to begin with, but...
No, it was great.
The ball's down, you're varying, and the home runs aren't happening?
Honestly, I don't think it's even close. It's Verlander and Cole now. 1-2.
You're already putting Cole?
Oh, Cole's...
you mean for what?
Cy Young?
Okay. I thought you meant like Astros of all
time. Oh, no. Cy Young. These two are going to vie. They're going to be 1-2. Right now, if you had to vote, these two would be 1-2 in the Cy Young voting. And I had Cole ahead of Verlander, but his last couple of starts now? Holy crap. And speaking of, holy crap, Altuve, 3-for-4, is hitting 300, and it's not August yet.
No.
Lance and I had this discussion. Lance caught it a little bit on Twitter.
He's off, and he's still catching it.
He's off, and he caught. By the way, hey, Lance, didn't even need to get to the end of the season to get to 300. Didn't even need to get to the end of July to get there. He could get to 315. He could get to three, well, at this rate. But I don't know how you could possibly hit at the rate that this dude is hitting.
By the way, a lot of Astros old schoolers are saying, what about Nolan Ryan?
Yeah, Nolan Ryan too. I mean, I don't know. Who would you take off for? I know. Nolan is.
Who was your five again in the starting rotation? You had
I had Clemens, Verlander, Clemens, Arroyo, Clemens, Mike Scott, and J.R. Richard. I know, Nolan Ryan. I don't know. I'd have to go. This is just off the top of my head. I'd have to go back and look at all of their numbers. JR was, but Nolan Ryan was here for what, 6-7 years?
Asking the wrong guy.
I guess you could replace Clemens with Nolan Ryan. Clemens got you to a World Series, though. Scott got you to the NLCS. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I don't. That's a tough one.
Being a little disrespectful.
A little disrespectful to the boss, to the king of Alvin. 713-780-3776. Lance Berkman will join us on the other side. He's our all time left fielder for the Houston Astros. That would be a hell of a lineup too. By the way, you start with Springer leading off. Biggio second, Altuve third, Bagwell fourth, Berkman hitting fifth, Bregman sixth, Jimmy Wynn seventh, Correa eighth, and then the starting pitcher ninth, because you're a National League team. Because in the history, you've been a national, for the better part of your history, you've been a National League team. So that would be Correa's eighth in your lineup. That's all you can do. John Clay Wolf is number one in your heart. He's number one, not with the show that follows him. And there was he got an email from a listener, as a matter of fact, that said, what? That dude's talking about weed, and he's talking about John Clay Wolf and his show? By the way, does he listen to any of the other shows on this station? Because you pretty much follow the format of most of the shows here, John Clay Wolf.
Well, I've been told by my legal counsel that I should not talk about this in a public forum at this time.
Okay, good. Good for you. Look at you actually taking the correct route as opposed to attack mode, right? Look at you.
We'll have a press release, and my lawyer will be doing a press release down San Jacinto Monument this evening when news came.
You've been slandered, and you won't have it. So
two days in a row. I mean, what are you doing make goods or something, catching up for lost time?
I don't know why, because I'm here all week.
We're on time because there's no Lance, so we can actually get to you.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
pretty much what it is.
That is true. We actually call you during your spots because Lance isn't here and we're taking breaks at the right time.
I offered to fill in for you while you were off. Lance said he didn't want me.
Oh no. Oh, that, did that hurt?
Guess
you?
What, you're not. When I offered, I already knew that Lance was going to say he didn't want me.
Listen, what we need to do, you were fine. You did a fine job while you were here filling in for Lance. You did. I thought you did a fine job.
I think people look at me like as a radio partner, as riding home with a, like a drunk guy driving them home, and woo, we made it again. And it scares them.
Yeah, right. Well, we got. Thank God we got through that without losing the license. don't trust me. That crossed my mind as well when you were here.
Here's what I'm doing today. I've got. I'm fixed to leave and go to the Dallas Auto Auction. We did not get 700 cars. We've got 640, and we've got. So today's when we find out if we were right or wrong. We buy all these cars around the country, and then we gather them up and we run them across the auction block this morning. Today's payday, so we either make money, lose money, or break even, and we've got the largest amount of cars we've ever had this morning at Dallas, and I don't do drugs, and I don't drink, you know, during the work day, but if I did, right now is when I would like to take a lewd, because this is a nerve-wracking moment. I'm fixing to go take all my cattle to market and put them on the scale, And sometimes it's bad. I mean, when you roll this big, when you're a baller like this, it can go sideways, and it really sucks. It's like sports betting.
Mm. So, but guess what? You've got all the risk. You've got all the risk. And you know what? All people do, they make money. So if you're looking for the best way to sell your car, givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I think it's getting better and better. Worked hard on it in spring. Been still working hard on it throughout the season. It kind of evaded me for a while, but honestly, something kind of clicked. Sat down and had a conversation one day with Nolan, and talked for a while about his changeup and just pitching in general, and came away with some new thoughts that I hadn't really thought of, and kind of took those to the bullpen, and changeup seemed to be better out there, and then took him to the game, and it's been better every start.
It was Justin Verlander, just a beauty last night. I don't know how you can throw much. You can't throw much better than he did. That was unbelievable. He just, the Indians had no idea. That curveball was filthy. I mean, you know, you're thinking fastball, and here he comes with this, and you gotta, and it's in the dirt and bouncing, and you just have no chance because it's starting up around the letters, and it's just dropping off the table. Just totally sweet. Totally sweet. Urquidy tonight against Zach Plesac. Plesac has won four of his last five starts, so he's looking pretty good. He is a young guy that has been pitching. He's been pitching much better of late. So, rookie, 11 career starts. How are you gonna? That's a big edge for the Astros with Urquidy on the mound. Urquidy is one of the best in the game right now. One of the best in the game. He didn't make the list of all-time Astros, but
it's early.
It is early. Who knows? He keeps throwing away. He's thrown the last couple outings.
Give it time, John.
No. I don't want to hype him up too much.
No, you are not a person who does that.
No, I would never do something like that. Did Deshaun throw 50 touchdowns last year?
Maybe on someone's Madden 19. But as far as real life, no, it didn't happen.
He got just above halfway to what I projected, didn't he?
Yeah, seems.
Did Correa hit 40 last year?
No.
Well, that's because he was hurt, but he would have. And Deshaun would have, too, if Will Fuller would have stayed healthy.
Would have thrown for more because that's his guy. But 50 is an all-time season. Not the best season, but one of the best. It would have been one of the best seasons of all time.
I know.
Putting that on Deshaun in the second year seems like you had really high hopes. Maybe too high.
Well, yeah, seeing as I paid $25 for him in our fantasy
league.
And
people are looking at you like, you could have got him for 12.
You could have got him for 8.
Well.
So DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt finish 11th and 12th in the top 100, NFL Network's top 100. This appears to be something that's important to players now. Around the league.
Well,
much like their Madden rating.
Before we move on, DeAndre got his deal, and Michael Thomas has gotten his.
Michael Thomas just got his deal?
Schefter's reporting Michael Thomas.
20?
I don't know the year. I have to see the years, but it's 100 mil for Michael Thomas.
I would say, I bet you it's 5 years, 100 mil.
But yeah, so he'll be.
He's going to get 20.
So he'll be in camp. 5-year, $100 million extension.
Mm-hmm.
The contract makes Thomas, I'm reading Rappaport Suite, makes Thomas the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. He's also the first non-quarterback offensive player to sign a $100 million contract.
All right.
What he wanted. He wanted to be the first $20 million a year wide
What's
receiver.
The guaranteed money?
I don't see that say? As no. of yet.
All right. So here's the thing now. Hopkins is 11th and J.J. is 12th. Here's the guys that are ahead of them in the top 100. There's 10 guys. Tom Brady, okay. Drew Brees, okay. Antonio Brown.
He was really good. I know we forget because of all the nonsense that came after.
But the nonsense came, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't make him a lesser player.
Well, I know, but he walked out on his team the last game they had to have a win to go to the playoffs.
Don't the players vote on that along with others? And the players, that probably holds less water with them than it does with you.
Probably. And but even still, I'm not sure that Antonio Brown was better than DeAndre Hopkins last year. Even forget the shenanigans, as Lance Berkman would put it. Forget the shenanigans. He wasn't as good as DeAndre.
That, well, it's about opinions, and the players collectively said you're wrong.
Well, Aaron Donald, okay. Julio Jones.
He had a great year.
Yeah. Todd Gurley.
Until the injury, he was...
Until the injury happened.
Well, in the playoffs, but as far as the regular season was concerned, he was a... I don't know the criteria. They incorporate the entire schedule, postseason included, but as a healthy running back in the regular season, he was great.
Von Miller and Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, the stats, well, that's probably a cumulative. He's always been really great because the numbers aren't bad, but they didn't win.
No. And he was healthy.
Yes. I mean, the numbers are, in terms of touchdown interception, are awesome.
Well, because,
he didn't throw the number of touchdowns you would expect from Aaron Rodgers.
But he didn't, what did he, set the record for consecutive passes without an interception?
Yeah. As far as efficiency, in terms of not turning the ball, he was great.
Right.
But they didn't win any ball games, at least not enough.
No. The Texans won big.
They did win 11 games.
Thank you. That's winning big.
Well,
I thought 11 games in the NFL.
That's a big-time regular season, but it kind of ended with a
dud. From that, okay, let's go backwards. I would say probably Aaron Rodgers is number 10. Maybe Todd Gurley, number 10. Antonio Brown would be 9. Von Miller, 8. But Aaron Rodgers is up there, is back there. He's going to be one of the, is back there. Let's go Todd Gurley, 10. Aaron Rodgers, 9. Antonio Brown, 8. Von Miller, 7. Julio Jones, 6. Drew Brees, 5. Who's left?
Is Brady?
Brady
was... Has he been ranked yet?
Brady has... I would think Brady's number 2 and Aaron Donald's number 1.
I feel like non-quarterbacks may gravitate towards Aaron Donald and just vote him number 1.
Aaron Donald is probably the best player in the game.
I wouldn't disagree.
I saw an article yesterday that said Aaron Donald is on his way to being the best defender in the history of the game.
How long has he been in the league now? Since we're doing the ranking show today?
4 or 5 years. He just got his big deal. That would have been after his 4th year, right? Or because he had a year to go. Is this 5 years now?
I am on it right now. He just finished up his 5th year. He's going into his 6th year.
Yeah. 5 years.
Number of sacks from the defensive tackle position, 59.5. He had 20.5 last year. Wade Phillips getting it done for Aaron Donald.
I don't know that Wade can take the credit for that.
No, I'm giving it to Wade. I'm not saying he's taking it. I'm giving it to Wade.
Right.
Wade gets all the credit in my eyes.
I think Aaron Donald's the best player in the game.
He is a disruptive force from a position that you can be disruptive, but the production from that position...
Yeah.
The 20.5 sacks from that position
is ridiculous.
That's spectacular.
Yep. And I think Tom Brady probably 2nd. Maybe Drew Brees 3rd. I wouldn't put Antonio Brown in the top 10. I think DeAndre should be up there. But that's just me. 713-780-3776. Hey, Lance Berkman's going to be joining us here in about 15 minutes. He's on his way in. If you want to talk to Lance, you know, save something and bring it. We've already got a request for him to do a video for us.
Is he? I saw that request and I thought to myself, is Lance that guy? Does he do stuff like that?
He might, because Diane is a churchgoer and she loves Lance Berkman. And so maybe we'll give Lance to get a shout out, maybe even on the air.
We're going to need more background about Diane. I don't think Lance wants a person of ill repute just having a video of him saying...
She's not a person. She goes to church with Craig Larson.
Is that saying anything? Do we know enough about Diane?
Yes, we know that she's a nice, nice person.
Because Lance does that video. It's on Diane's person.
She's God-fearing.
And we find something horrible about Diane, and now Lance is like, what'd you have me do? What are you doing?
She's God-fearing.
God-fearing people do some bad stuff.
No.
Yes, they do.
No.
You know how many wars have been started because of God-fearing
people? I'm just going to take Craig Larson's word for it because Craig Larson's a good person. Okay?
Am I going to take your word on that?
What you know about Craig Larson?
I don't. That's why I got to take your word on that,
terrible.
I guess.
Terrible. You all don't know Craig Larson. He's a God-fearing man, and Diane is all a church going God fearing.
All I am
woman.
Saying, John, is God fearing has been the reason for multiple awful things that happened.
You're the worst person
in the
now.
History of the
you
world.
You take over as worst person on the show.
Why? I'm not blaming God for it. I'm blaming human beings.
7:45 ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston SaberCats here. Even when I'm dead.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Lance Berkman is almost in the building. So he will be joining us in just a second here on the other side, 8 o'clock. So that's always fun. We'll talk to him about throwing baseballs at people's heads. And Cadillacing and whatnot. But there's some Rockets news that we got to get to. Daryl Morey apparently was on Dan Patrick and has had a revelation about regular season play and postseason play. Because it has been one of the most important things in the Rockets organization to win MVPs, to go on world scoring tours, to just be the best darn regular season team we possibly can. That has all changed now. Here's Daryl Morey on the Dan Patrick Show.
And I'm wondering now what you think of load management with two higher energy guys on your team now and how important it is to have Harden and Westbrook rested for the postseason. So is load management part of the strategy for you?
Yeah, it always is. We try not to label it or make it a big deal. But we have a great training staff, and obviously our goal is just to win the title this year. We're not, you know, looking for any regular season goals. Everyone on our team's won pretty much every award you can, except the championship. So, it'll be a very put together plan by our staff throughout the season to have our guys peak in April.
I wonder what, and we'll ask Lance about this, about load management, what he thinks of load management, a guy who plays 162 a year.
Well, he's standing around for more than half of it.
Oh, so is James Harden.
When
he doesn't have the ball, he just stands around.
Well, he does have to follow guys off the dribble,
really.
The bounce.
Not really.
And really off the ball.
Really, he defense. Don't remember this move?
I still feel like he
the
moves.
The Olay swat at the ball thing?
He moves more than Lance does when Lance is standing in the outfield.
Lance is nonstop action, okay?
By the way, I want to credit
baseball is nonstop, grinded out 162 games, okay? You have to be a superior athlete to withstand 162-game season.
And I will argue that Lance is in better shape now, as I look at him, than he was
Lance
as a baseball player.
Lance is in better shape now than when he played, actually. If you want to know.
But I do want to give credit to Ali Bajani.
Yeah.
Who pulled the clip.
We got to get him some headphones. We were just talking about load management. It's the new word in basketball. Do you know what you know about load management?
I thought that was like a construction term.
No, it's not. It's actually a basketball term. It means rest. We're gonna get some rest.
Yeah.
Okay. What does a guy who plays 162 a year think of load management?
I mean, I get it. Like, I mean, it is exhausting, and there were, and I think the culture in a lot of sports has changed in that regard because, yeah. Like, I remember when I was coming up as a rookie. I mean, you played every day unless you were, you know, unless you had a broken leg or something where you physically couldn't do it.
Right.
And that was just kind of the expectation. And there were many discussions about, well, you know, you think so-and-so would be better if we gave him a couple of days off here and there. And then the counter argument to that is, well, that so-and-so player at 70% is better than the rest of the league, so run him out there.
Right.
And I do think from an athlete's perspective, a lot of it is just expectation, you know, as far as like when you were expected to play 162, well, the guys did.
That's what you did.
And now that guys get days off. Well, now everybody expects to have a day off.
Isn't that like pitchers too? Now you're not expected to throw nine. Back then, you throw nine.
It's your game. You're not coming out unless you got a serious problem. But so I do think there's obviously value in keeping guys healthy and keeping guys rested. But I think you can go overboard the other direction. You know, you can always do more physically than you think you're capable of doing, and it's hard to push yourself a lot of times. And so having some extenuating circumstances where you are pushed, or having a culture where you're expected to perform physically on a daily basis, I don't think it's a balance. I mean, I think you can go overboard either way.
Well, Dell's thought, our producer's thought, was that, well, you know, the basketball players have to do load management. Baseball players don't, because you just stand around.
Well,
that's baseball, you run like four times a game.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that basketball on a game by game basis is more physical than baseball. I mean, there's running. If you've ever been to an NBA game and sat close to the court, you don't realize how much pounding those guys. I mean, they pound on each other. I mean, it is a physical game, and baseball is not that way. But the difference between basketball and baseball is every day. So baseball is like death by a thousand cuts, and basketball is more like, you know, it's kind of, basketball sort of the median between baseball and football in terms of the physicality. Yeah. So I get it. I mean, they need days off and they need rest. And I've never played an NBA season, so I'm ill-equipped to speak to the rigors of that. But I can imagine that having managed people's minutes and all those kinds of things is a good – that can't be bad.
I would imagine if you were a basketball player, you'd be a guy that just stood out on the three-point line and just shot. And you were like, I ain't mixing it up down there.
That's where you're wrong, John, because my specialty, I'd be the Dennis Rodman of the NBA.
Oh, my God.
I'd love to get in there and rebound. That's my favorite part of the game. No. Absolutely.
No.
Yes.
I think you'd be one of those. You'd be more one of those soft, maybe Sam Perkins guys that just stands out there Kyle Korver. I'm not getting in there.
No, because I can't shoot. Like, if I'm outside of a layup range, I'm probably not going to make it. So, I like to contribute to the game in some capacity, and rebounding is that.
I don't see it.
Okay.
Kyle Korver, he's running off screens?
No, that's true. He's a catch and shoot.
I'll give him Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol?
I feel like he's a Marc Gasol type.
Well, but Marc Gasol has to get down there, too.
No, this Marc Gasol, the one who stands out.
Oh, that just stands out there?
Yeah.
It's Bill Laimbeer. No. Maybe take a cheap shot here and there?
Wow. Wow. I mean, thanks, guys. Good morning, and good to see y'all. Let me jump right in.
But Dennis Rodman?
I'm just meaning like that guy. His specialty,
he can't shoot either. Yeah,
right. Well, Ryan.
But actually, if you shot all the time, I could see you getting a touch.
Yeah, maybe.
A lefty that would be knocking down some shots.
Yeah, you possibly.
Know? Yeah, I could see that. But I don't see physical at all. But,
okay, well.
Steve McKinney was here yesterday. What did Steve do yesterday?
He brought breakfast.
Yeah. Brought us breakfast.
Well, I was expecting y'all to have breakfast for me. That's the difference.
See, that's the difference in me and you, right?
That's
there.
Right. Yeah,
I expected you.
I'm all about me. I've told you that before. So, where is my breakfast?
Yeah.
In fact, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Well, see, but we have guests, and you know, this could put a limit on the number of times you'll be here. Steve McKinney brings breakfast, so he'll be invited back. You know what I'm saying?
Don't invite me back. You think I want to get up early and come in here and be insulted?
What kind of treat is this for him? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Wow. Gee, I'm terrified that you're not going to have me back in here.
To get up early.
Get up early.
And not have breakfast.
Not have breakfast and be insulted. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to do that?
I can't
believe you don't have people lining up to get in here.
Well, yeah, actually, we don't. Actually.
Nah, it's not a hot ticket.
It's not really the hottest.
I mean, I'll tell you what, it feels like a deserted warehouse out there. How many murders have taken place in the lobby of your building here?
doesn't it? They had to redo the whole place because all the blood stains.
I was going
to
say, it feels like it should be in some sort of industrial horror film. Yes. When you walk in, you're like, oh my gosh.
What happened here?
Could they be doing radio from here?
Yeah.
Well, if you looked at the stairwell before they did their paint job, it was ugly.
Yeah, you should have seen it earlier this week. No running water, no air conditioning. The lobby's all broken up.
It was like, what environment can we create to make a snuff film, yeah. And they tried to create that on Monday morning.
Wow!
What do you, have you seen us? Okay, you think we're going to spend high dollars on a building?
Well, that's true. That's a great point.
You know what I'm saying?
I do have a question because I caught just the last part of y'all's discussion on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
What was that top 10 list that you?
The NFL players vote for the top 100 players.
Oh,
in the
NFL. NFL players vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins and JJ finished 11th and 12th.
Just out of the top
10. Yeah, just out of the top 10.
I mean, those things are obviously extremely subjective.
So. Well, and important to the players because they get PO'd when they're not in, you know. Well, how could I be 51st on this list?
I mean, if you're in the top 50 football players in the country, you have to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, you're pretty good. Yeah. Well, Deshaun was 51st. But Baker Mayfield was ahead of him, which we haven't discussed, which is ridiculous, that Baker Mayfield would be ahead of Deshaun Watson.
Seems like. Well, they haven't. Neither one has been in the league that long. It seems like the Browns are the hot team. So yeah. Throw Baker up there.
Yeah, the Texans are the Texans. 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. Tyler wants to get in here. Anybody else wants to talk to Lance Berkman? 713-780-3776.